flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's Thursday, February 6th, 2025, and our live traveling roadshow continues from Nollins, where we are at Radio Row ahead of Super Bowl 59. Danny is back in our DC studios. I'm out and about. We've got an unbelievable guest lineup for you. In the interest of time, I won't say the names of all of the guests coming on, but here's a little snippet, as Fred Smoot would say,
Snibblet,
of what we've got today. Louis Riddick of ESPN, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Dan Orlovsky, quarterback, ESPN analyst, Devin McCourty, longtime NFL star, Super Bowl champion, media sensation, former Redskin Vernon Davis, and Redskins world champion, Super Bowl champion, Mark Schlereth. Just a sample of what we've got on the docket today. We're also giving away tickets at 4 o'clock to see The Weeknd when The Weeknd is at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland this summer. Danny, you look handsome. You look good in high definition.
Well, thank you.
On the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I did the AMRAP 20-minute hit that you gave me. You know the one that you do like a lot of times to warm up just to kind of get started before your actual workout? I did that one.
Yeah,
so a little sweaty and gross. So it's nice of you to say that.
Sweat-breaking endeavor just to get me in the mood to work out.
Now your heart rate's going. Now you can work out. But for the rest of us mortals, it's like, okay, that's all I could do today. So it's nice. I'm unshowered and disgusting. So it's nice to say, but I look okay. Look semi-presentable.
What is the weather like back home?
Disgusting. 2 hours late for school because it was freezing rain and sleet and grossness overnight. And there was moisture on the ground and it all froze. So now it's just rain.
So I actually didn't know the answer before I asked. It's not like I'm trying to troll. I had no idea. It's just not on my radar
right now. Don't worry about it.
It's 76 degrees here.
Yeah.
So that was not my intention. I wasn't trying to rub it in or be a jerk or anything. But now I have to tell you what the weather is here if I ask you what the weather is.
Yeah, I mean, we're exchanging information. It was, it's gross out. Gross. Terrible, terrible, disgusting February day. Dreary.
I figured I should let you know that last night I did talk to Jaden Daniels. The plan was I was going to get an interview with Jaden Daniels for the radio program. I don't even want to pretend. I don't want to try to build it up. I don't want to tell people, you've got to tune in at this time. Jaden Daniels on Grant and Danny. I just don't have the heart to tease or do any of that for people. I talked to him for 47 seconds. That's what happened. I drove all over New Orleans following Jaden Daniels to all of his endeavors, wherever he's going to be. I will be there. And then I did a 47-second conversation with Jaden Daniels. Now, shtick aside, all he is the nicest guy in the world.
Yes.
Like, this has nothing to do with him. I don't know how it worked exactly, but he's been on Radio Row for 2 days, essentially. He has been on every national platform, basically, that you can imagine. He has sat down with Pat McAfee and FanDuel and DraftKings and this thing and that thing and King of Queens and Kings and Queens.
Mm-hmm.
He's done everything, right? He hasn't done little old 106.7 The Fan, which I'm not overly excited about. Some of my favorite things. there's some local outlets here that talk about you every day, all day long. But it's not his fault. Like, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus or anybody under the bus. Whoever is, like, marketing people are, like, want the country and the world to see him, so I get that. But so I've just been – whatever we got to do, man, we will be where Jaden Daniels is. We would love to get a couple minutes with him. So to the Commanders PR staff's credit, they've got a really good PR staff. Their guy Charlie's out here, and he's like, hey, you know, why don't you come to this event? He's going to be getting some award, and I'll see what I can do about trying to get you an audience with him. And I was like, awesome.
Okay.
He made no promises. He didn't know what was going to be happening, what was going on. But he said, you know, let's just see what happens, essentially. And so we get there, and what it turned into was this pretty cool event where there was a red carpet before this big award show. I was Kevin McCarthy. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing on a little spot, like the little sheet of paper that says who you are and where you're from. So it's like Grant Paulson, the fan.
Oh, man.
With 1,000 other people like me along the red carpet. And the idea for my big radio exclusive with Jaden Daniels was that when he walked by, I would get to ask him like 3 questions for 45 seconds. And someone along the way thought that would be a good thing for a radio show as the big interview with Daniels. So, again, not his fault. I want this clear.
Right.
Not anyone's fault particularly, other than whoever put his schedule together and didn't put any of the locals on it. But that's another thing I'll gripe about.
Let me just, Ryan, can we help with the headline? Paulson blames Jaden Daniels for snafu.
No, stop.
Can we put that down? Thanks.
He is such a sweet boy. He's so nice.
He's so nice.
I'm being serious. Watching him walk around this room and stop and the things people are saying that aren't interesting and that he doesn't care about and the way that he treats everyone. He was just raised very well, like just a good person.
Rock star.
But so, without further ado, do you want to hear my amazing, award-winning, best interview that's ever happened? Deep, like there were tears shed. There was content from this interview we've gotten out of Jaden Daniels nowhere in his life. Do you want to hear the big interview?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
I think we can fit it into this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, live, or I guess it's not live, very clearly.
It's live
taped,
now. Yeah.
Live to tape. In New Orleans, ahead of an event where he got an award, this was me and only me. No one else talked with him all week long with Jaden Daniels.
But Jaden, you're one of the biggest stars in New Orleans over these last couple days. Everybody wants to talk to you. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been wild just to come out here and come back to Louisiana, obviously with some of my guys and my brothers, but you know, it's a bittersweet moment being here. You know, obviously one game away from the Super Bowl, but it's fun. It's fun and exciting.
Have you had a chance to take inventory yet on just how amazing the season was and all that you accomplished?
A little bit, but not really. You know, I think once football season's done, I'll be able to really reflect.
When you look back at your year, what are you proudest of?
Just the excitement as a whole team that we brought back to the DMV area.
Jaden Daniels last night. Danny, there it was.
43.9 seconds on the old stopwatch here. Now,
was it less than 47? I thought it was 47.
Maybe the entire file is 47, but from time to talk is 43.9 on the old stopwatch.
I'd like to tell you one more thing about that interview.
Uh-huh.
The moment I asked the first question and it stopped, right? So like whenever his first word was said.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind him, and he's he'd never met Jaden Daniels. It's a guy that's working the event at the red carpet. He starts doing this move. The finger wagging in the air, circular motion, just spinning in a circle. You know that
oh,
thing?
Oh, look, you got to go? Wrap it
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like the one question is what you get. I'm telling you, I was Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
I was at the red carpet. Tom Cruise is walking by, and I'm just like, what do you think of Mission Impossible? How do you feel about the scene when you made out with the chick? Like, that's what this was. And somehow, I was supposed to make that my big interview.
We say this all the time, and, you know, again, we're not victims. Just, I want to make sure I throw that out there.
No,
but
Pete's working for a living.
Of course. There is such a fundamental lack of understanding as to how radio works from everybody.
So true.
Right? Now, here's the thing. That 45 seconds is worth it, ultimately, because you're down there. You got, you know, you talk to Jaden Daniels. It's good shtick. It was great to have him on the show for 43.9 seconds, most specifically. But that someone goes, this will work. You see what I'm saying? Like, this isn't just the quote for the newspaper article where they say Daniels reflecting on the year said it was great, and then it's over. It's not, you know, the TV soundbite or the sniblet, as our buddy Fred Smoot says, where I caught up with Jaden Daniels live at the red carpet, and then it's a quick cut, and it's interspersed with another report. Nobody understands our thing.
To your point, and this is so true about radio, so J.P. Finley of B. Mitch and Finley fame was there last night for NBC4. So it was him and his cameraman, and they grabbed the same 50 seconds, two, three questions with Daniels that I did, basically. That is perfect for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
They need the video of him on a red carpet, check. B-roll of him shaking some hands with celebrities, check. And then, not to speak for them, but you get your one-on-one with the mic flag in front of them. Local television is six-second clips. You know what I'm saying? That was perfect. Like, that was a home run. They high-five, they leave. What do I do with this? You know what I'm saying?
We do it. We play, and then we do shtick. Like, that's what it is. And again, this is not a complaint. It just is. It's the reality.
That was my choice, though, is like, I don't want it to come off or sound on the air like I'm upset at anybody. I'm not. But also, we are honest with our audience. I told you yesterday we might have Jaden Daniels. What do you want me to do? Also, I have 47 seconds. Do I not play it at all because it doesn't help us? Or do I play it, and then if I play it, I have to explain what happened?
Yeah, of course.
So this is not me trying to Joan. I swear, it's just me trying to tell you, first of all, Darris, that I'm sorry that I dragged you along all over New Orleans. I mean, Darris was with me last night. I'm like, I think we're getting 5 minutes. You know, it's going to be perfect. It's going to – we get there, and I'm like, so about that. And the best part about this, by the way, Danny, the only reason we really got in, one of the Commander's PR people was very nice and put us on a list. Well, we get there, and someone's like, yeah, I don't really care about that list. Like, that list is fine for whoever you talk to. That's not my list. And randomly, there's a guy sitting at this table in New Orleans at the Malia Theater, wherever the hell we were last night.
He wasn't even sitting there when we first got there. He happened to walk over kind of like in the whole process of her acting like she was going to get us in, but she really didn't give a crap about us.
How much interest did she have in getting us in?
I would say negative 10.
Right.
Yeah.
So this guy comes over and sits down next to her at a table in New Orleans, and he goes, hey, Grant. Because I'm wearing my credential. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, love the show with Danny, man. Is he here? I'm like, nope. He's like, oh, I listen to the show every day. And this lady's like, you know these guys? He's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, okay. And she starts writing a credential. That's how we got into event. I'm not even joking. If that doesn't happen, we just twiddle our thumbs outside a tent and everyone else is in there to get their 44 seconds. Like, the whole thing was so wacky. And there were celebrities. There were football players. There were gospel singers. This was like a who's who. It was like one of these things you'll see on TV. And there's like people with Academy Awards that just won a bunch of Grammys. And little old Darris and me just kind of chilling there going, where is our quarterback? You know, when's he walking by?
Well, I liked it. I liked that that list is precious. That's an adorable list.
Yeah.
That ain't my list. You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't care. You can write your name down on any piece of paper. That put you on my list. I think that's adorable.
I got a list here. It's not a list that you're on.
Right.
I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. You are on a list.
You're on a list.
Don't really care about
that. That's adorable. That's great for you.
I'm like asking. I'm like, so what's the name of this person? They're like, try this name. I don't know that person. I mean, it was like straight up.
Oh, my God.
I was like, we are not getting in. I'll tell you right now.
Man, oh, man.
And then lo and behold, our guy, who was from D.C., for some reason he was in New Orleans at that moment, sitting at that table, sent from the heavens as far as I'm concerned. Hey, man, I listen to the show every day. Big Beltway Blitz guy. And she's like, you know these guys?
You know these two? That's amazing.
So, right.
You know, he's a big fan of the double play, by the way.
Yeah, I love that. It's a good bit. The old way. Now, again, this is just a nice dichotomy. And I'm hoping it's not this way. I don't think it is with all the folks that over there now that are doing a good job and doing the right things and keeping their priorities in order and ducks in a row, the whole nine yards. But remember years ago, okay, with the old folks there in Ashburn for the Washington 53, there was a whole bit where we talked to Bruce Allen for whatever reason. Like, we ended up getting Bruce on. And then they kept holding that over our heads for almost 3 years. Where it's like, we got you that guy that time. What's it? No, you didn't. Grant cornered him at the Super Bowl like a trapped rat. Grant chased him down when Bruce was trying to leave and was like hurtling gates and barriers to try to get out an exit that was not an exit. It was a loading dock. And eventually we ended up talking to him. You didn't give us anybody. But they held it over our heads like, we've done enough for you. We gave you this guy that time over basically like almost half a decade where they kept holding over our heads. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I don't think anybody's going to keep the score and go, We got you, Jaden Daniels, man. 43.9 seconds worth. We got him for you. Don't ask us for any favors for a long time.
The only thing that I like more than securing the guest is being told no. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in on it. I don't mind going up and being rejected. There's no problem with that. Hey, I got a familiar face here sitting down with us right now, Danny.
Let me get in here.
My guy, Jermon Bushrod.
Oh, hey.
Of New Orleans Saints fame, a former Super Bowl champion. This is a King George County reunion right now. A
couple of Hall of Famers right there.
Big easy. So Danny's back in the studio. Danny. I've been trying to link up with my guy. We've been changing texts all day long. So you're like the mayor here, though. You're back in New Orleans.
Man, listen, it's good. Danny, what's going on, dude?
What's up, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm blessed. It's great to be back here, dude. The city is incredible.
Here's the thing. I think if I lived here, I would weigh 700 pounds.
Yeah, listen. And that's,
how do you not get out of shape here?
Do you remember? You might not remember, but I did a little scouting,
yeah,
a little bit of coaching. And I was here for a year, dude. When I got here, I went back and looked at the pictures. I'm on my weight loss journey again, right? But I was like 15 pounds less than this. I was feeling really good about myself. I came here for not even a year, 6 months. And by the time I had to make a decision to figure out, am I going to keep doing this or I'm going back to Florida, I was damn near at my playing weight. So I'm like, I got to go back home. I got to go back home for me, you know, because the food's too good. We live in the city, so I don't have my space. I can do all my, you know, all my activities. So, nah, man, I love it here. This place is incredible, isn't it?
It's the best. It's a great party. I saw Drew Brees. I've seen a bunch of your guys roaming around from that Super Bowl championship Saints team. We know this from the 18 Caps and the 19 Nats in D.C. Once you win a title, you're just made in that town. Like, everybody loves you forever.
They say you walk together forever. You know, it's so hard to win a Super Bowl, right, to be the last team standing. Not everybody gets that opportunity. There's people who've played in this league 10, 12, 15 years who don't even sniff it, you know. And in my third year, I was able to accomplish that along with a great group of guys. And 9 years after that, Grant, I strive for that feeling again. And never got back there. Extremely close. We were one call away from going back to it.
You know? That was the NFC Championship.
That's an appearance that should have been,
That was a good call, by the way. I thought that was a good call.
That's how I saw it, Jermon.
Grant. Like, I love you, dude, but I can't.
No, they definitely didn't blow that at all. Yeah. He didn't get tackled or anything like that.
Oh, my god.
There may have been some contact.
You should have seen his face, or I guess you can.
I can see it,
on the YouTube. He looked at me like he was going to swing.
Like, that's, you know, there's certain things I just don't play around with.
Yeah, that's not funny, right?
Listen.
Too soon?
Dude, like, no. Well, you know, I've had some time to get it out of my system. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And now if I was sitting here and I didn't have this ring on and I didn't have a chance, yeah, I'd be really, really salty. I'm still salty, but I'm not really, really salty.
Let me see the ring.
Of course.
You got to show the people on the YouTube chat. I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
God, that's unbelievable. How can you wear it?
Let me localize this for a second, real quick. That 2009 Saints team where you guys were so together. I mean, obviously you always had those prolific offenses and a Hall of Fame quarterback, et cetera. Yes. But it was that, like, defense that was punching above its weight class, getting some key turnovers, and the run that you guys made. I honestly feel like this Washington team this year kind of reminded me of that group. Obviously, you know, Brees had the pedigree, was on his way to the Hall. Jaden Daniels was a rookie, but there was like, this shouldn't be happening with this group, maybe, but they're so together, they just keep winning these games.
And it's funny because it's bigger. Right, exactly. Like, when you have something special and your quarterback gave you that belief, and the team, obviously the team, but the quarterback, he gave you the belief that, hey, we can be down in the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter what situation we're in. This kid has ice in his veins. And when it's crunch time, he's not going to back down. He's not going to make the bad throw. He's going to invite that opportunity. So the kid really grew on. I seen him over there, you know, and
he's
like,
making the rounds today.
Yeah, you know, he's about to be offensive rookie of the year, you know, and that's exciting, man, because you got something great for that area, you know. And obviously, being a former Washington fan, I am still a fan, but obviously, I'm kind of, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired down here as well. So I always want to see the team do well. So I'm enjoying seeing all my people happy that you got this guy, you know.
He's
was that piece, dude. So I'm excited, man. He's a hell of a player.
Danny, I'm just happy for you that you get to have two King George Hall of Famers on.
It's a privilege.
Your radio show at the same time.
This is incredible. Look, I see him two times a year.
Mm-hmm. at your golf tourney and then the parade.
It's at the golf, and I'm going to plug the golf tournament right now. Actually, I'm going to need you to come on down. They keep asking me, "Are you guys going to do the radio show again?" So I'm putting it out there in the atmosphere
because we're going to be there for you.
Yeah, we need that level again. But listen, dude. We got to get reunited in New Orleans, and that's what it's about, man. That's how life is, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. What should people know about that are back home in the DMV that want to play in the golf tourney?
Visualizingrise.org. Okay. You can follow our social media. We got an awesome project coming down the pipeline, and you know that's my purpose, man. And we're just going to continue to keep pushing that. But no, I always appreciate you and everybody coming out to support that. You are huge. Deal to what we have going on.
No, I don't know about that, but this is one of the good ones. I mean, this is a guy, Danny, I'm telling you, if he calls, I answer whatever he needs. Like, you meet certain people in your life from your area that are just special human beings, mm-hmm. and Jermon's one of them, man.
Can I put a bug in your ear about a pickleball tournament for Visualize and Rise?
There you go.
Is pickleball big? It's huge in Florida.
Yes.
Danny's all in, bro.
We just converted a couple tennis courts in our neighborhood to pickleball.
Yeah, people are pissed. Sorry, it's happening.
Yeah,
it's ours
yes,
now.
They are. So I guess that's a nationwide thing then. So
it's
all
thing,
tennis
dude.
People are pissed at the whole pickleball community.
If you need a pickleball, Danny's your guy for Visualize and Rise.
Absolutely.
Let's get this thing off the ground. Jermon, it's so good to see you, man.
It's good to see you.
I appreciate
good to see
you swinging through. We got Lewis Riddick of ESPN, longtime NFL executive, stopping by in moments on Grant and Danny. We're live in New Orleans, Radio Row, Super Bowl 59. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back to New Orleans and Media Row. Grant and Danny live on The Fan, taking you up to 6:30. You're going to hear from Kurt Warner, the Hall of Fame quarterback, coming up in about a half hour. Remember, we got tickets to see The Weeknd we're giving away at 4 o'clock. That's in 90 minutes from right now. But we are very pleased as we welcome you back in ahead of Super Bowl 59 for Media Row to talk to Lewis Riddick of ESPN. He's one of the great analysts covering the sport in the country at this point, and I got to say, one of the most adamant, loud backers of Jaden Daniels all season long.
Yeah, man.
What did the kids say? 10 toes down or something? I mean, you are in his corner in a big, big way, and you turned out to be very, very right.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, no, you know what? That started way back, man. Like, one, during the regular season, just watching him play from afar. You don't know a whole lot about a guy at that point, but there's just certain things that attract you to the way a guy's play. And then you go down to LSU, and you start asking people about Jaden Daniels, the person. And it just came back. I mean, all the reviews came back glowingly. And then I got to talk to him. And you think about the things that he went through as far as his transition from ASU to LSU. The commitment that he made not only to get better but become a great teammate, become a great leader, get to know all the guys. And then when you watch him throw the football in person, look, man, I mean, the ball comes off of his hand like an absolute bullet. And you just knew he was going to be committed to being as great as he possibly can be. He's a team guy first. You saw how all the other guys, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, how all these guys, went at his pro day, they were there to serve him. It was all about him. And so I'm going, look, he not only does he have it as a captain, the way he throws the ball and the way he can run, come on, forget it. He's the dude. And that's not, look, I'm not trying to talk bad about Caleb Williams, and I wouldn't do that. But I got a different feeling around Jaden Daniels than I did around Caleb. And a lot of that had to do with just how the players responded to him. They wanted to be there for him. You know where else I saw that? The year before. Okay, when we go to Ohio State's pro day and you're looking at C.J. Stroud workout, all right, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is out there running routes for him, and he's coming out the next year. And a lot of scouts are sitting there going, damn, look at Marvin Harrison. Like, look how he's running these routes. And people are going, well, why is he even out here? Like, this is a guy who maybe could be the number one pick of the draft. What does that say about C.J. Stroud? That he would want to be there for him, right? And that's not to take anything away from Bryce Young, because everybody down in Alabama loved Bryce Young. But Marvin just had that factor. And that's a part of the whole process, man. When you're evaluating these quarterbacks, like, you can watch all the tape in the world. Don't ever believe that the eye in the sky doesn't lie, because it doesn't. What it doesn't do is give you the entire picture. You have to go see these guys. And when I saw Jaden, I was just like, bing, done. That's it. That was it right there. And now look, you got veterans, young players all going, I want to get to Washington. I want to play with this guy. You know, you think Myles Garrett right now, you think, I would assume the Washington fans would be like, Miles, we'll take you.
Oh, they're happy.
You know what I'm saying?
By, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's – I said – I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I want to say this, and I said this, you know, a little while ago. I don't know if I said it on TV or somewhere else. Jaden's going to have the same effect on Washington that Patrick is having on Kansas City. When it's all said and done, that's what's going to happen. He's going to have that same thing. Josh Harris is going to sit there and go, how much money do you want? Just make sure you leave a little bit so we can pay everyone else, but what do you want? He's going to be that kind of guy. And that's – I know in a business where everyone's trying to make a headline statement. I'm not trying to make a headline statement. That's just what I think.
Well, we'll use that in our headline, though.
Yeah, but use that. Yeah, go ahead. He's gonna have that kind of effect as long as, you know, Dan keeps people around him. Look, Patrick has had the benefit of having Andy Reid – the entire time. He's had a very stable offensive system, same defensive coordinator, same special teams coordinator, same GM. Can Washington keep that kind of consistency around Jaden Daniels? If you do, there they go.
But, well, you just touched on it here, Lewis, but and I'd love for you to go into that. What's the roadmap to get there? Because this has been sensational. This year was incredible. It's transcended all the right words. But now, okay, you're number one on the scouting report. Everybody's now geared to try to figure out how to stop you, slow you down, tougher schedules to come, et cetera. What's the roadmap for him to get there to be, well, as long as you got him, we're winning 12 games?
Yeah, there's an individual component and then a team collective component. For Jaden, he has to understand what his blind spots were this year, what he needs to improve upon, and understand what are some of the things that he struggled with, what kind of pressure points are people going to want to push on next year in order to try and make him more comfortable. How are they going to try and slow it down for him? You understand, I mean, you guys know about his training and about how he uses virtual reality to kind of stay ahead of the game, how he watches it even faster so during game day it kind of looks slow to him. I mean, that's all next-level stuff.
Why don't more quarterbacks do that?
That's a great question, because maybe not everybody's committed to the game and committed to being great like he is. You know, Tom Brady has a great quote, right? You don't always have to be the very best to be someone who's extremely successful. You have to be willing to do what most people aren't, which is be consistent. And Jaden has been consistent throughout his career in terms of his preparation, and he takes it next level with this kind of technology. I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to do that. I don't know why virtual reality wouldn't be something you would want to implement in whatever it is that you're doing. It just gives you a step ahead. So he's going to do that. But then Adam Peters has to make sure, just like Brett Veach has done in Kansas City, build that offensive line, keep him protected, don't have him getting hit, get some explosive playmakers at the running back position, keep the passing game continuing to evolve. Will Cliff stay around? Is he someone who Josh Harris just goes, hey, you know what I would do? I'd be like, Cliff, how much money do you want? So you don't go take a head coaching job. He seems like he has found his sweet spot. That relationship between he and Jaden, between Dan Quinn and Jaden, seems to be exactly what you're looking for. George Witt Jr., I mean, is he going to be someone who stays in the fold the same way Spagnuolo stayed in the fold down in Kansas City and didn't go anywhere? For whatever reason it is, people don't want to hire Spags and give him another crack at it. You keep all that stuff consistent, continue to restock the football team. It's going to be like it used to be when I played against Washington back in the days when they rolled everybody. It didn't matter who.
Lewis Riddick of ESPN, before he became one of the top executives with the Eagles, started in Washington.
Yeah.
Cut his teeth as a scout.
How about that?
Did you guys know, like, at that time, Danny and I joke about this all the time as a show.
Yeah.
Like, we could just go on the air for years with Dan Snyder and be like, hey, he's still the owner. They have no chance. We'll be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Did you guys know that, like, almost no matter what you did, that the ceiling was so much lower just because the process was never clean or good?
Well,
and maybe you can't think like that.
You just knew that the process in and of itself, you know, from the bottom level up, right, as you kind of ran it up the flagpole, so to speak, the process wasn't the problem. It's like when it got to the higher up, it could all get blown up.
So, you do all the work. You got the player. You got
and
the
you're,
report.
You're sitting there thinking, this is how we're going to go. And then all of a sudden, something – like, he could come in at the very end and be like, nope, I'm going to pay that guy. Nope, I'm going to pay that guy. Or, you know, and that is something that's – I mean, that's very defeating. That can lead to a lot of bad decisions. Now, not everything happened that way. Not everything happened that way. I think probably maybe more so what happened – what was the problem back in those days was the continuous churn of coaches and changing of philosophies where you're constantly having to go, well, this coach doesn't like this kind of player. Now we got to get these guys. So it was Marty Schottenheimer, and then it was Steve Spurrier, and then it was Joe Gibbs, and then it was Jim Zorn, and then it was Mike Shanahan. It's like, what the hell? What is all that? You'll never – in Kansas City, it's been Andy Reid.
Right.
And Andy Reid. In Pittsburgh, it's been Mike Tomlin. You know, in Baltimore, it was Brian Billick, and now it's John Harbaugh. And although those teams aren't, like, you know, killing it with the Super Bowls other than Kansas City, Washington would love to have the run that Baltimore's having.
Yeah. No doubt.
Love to have the run that Pittsburgh's having. So that it's those kind of things. See, that is out of a scout's hands. Like, ownership could change that, and they did. Do you remember the 2001 season in Washington? Finished the year 8-8, have a ton of cap space.
8-3 in the last 11.
Yeah, right, exactly. So what I'm saying is the team was set up for 2002 to kind of make a bit of a splash in free agency, had all the draft picks, salary cap is in a good spot. And Marty's just fired. I remember the night I got the call from Marty Schottenheimer going, I'm really sorry, Lewis, but I'm being let go. I'm sorry I didn't get to work with you more. I'm like, what? I just got here in June. This is we just finished the season.
You went 500 with Tony Banks at quarterback.
How about that?
With Tony
we
Banks,
just finished,
man.
We just finished the season. It was like, that's a recipe for freaking disaster.
Yeah.
And that's what you've had.
Speaking of which, we should ask you before we let you go about the rest of the division. So there's now, I just love saying this, there's two teams that seem like they have their head on straight. Washington's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the Cowboys, who are still going to be relevant because they've got a quarterback in Dak, and the Giants. So just a thought on those two teams. Thoughts on Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach for the Cowboys? It's hard to wrap my head around. And then the Giants, do they go quarterback early? Is that guy going to be there? Like,
yeah.
What do those two teams need to do to play catch-up?
Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer. Brian was in Washington with his dad that year in 2001.
That's right.
Look, I think look, what's interesting, look, there's a lot of coaches who just never get the opportunity to really show you who they really could be from a leadership perspective. From a head coaching perspective, because they don't get the same kind of like sponsorship that some of these other guys. Like, look, this isn't a knock against my boy Adam Schefter, but he doesn't have Schefter talking about him. He doesn't have reporters from NFL Network talking about him. He doesn't have a powerful agency pushing him out there all the time, jamming him down the throat of every owner, so he doesn't get on the circuit, right? But that doesn't mean that there aren't guys out there. If you gave him a shot, he couldn't be a very competent to very, very good head coach. We'll see with Brian. So I'm not going to make any judgment about what he is. And I really don't care what Jerry says about it because, you know, you always know he's coming from a different angle, one that's very self-serving, right? So you don't really know what to believe there. So I don't know. I do know that this football team, they better be able to run the football better. They better be able to play more physical football up front on the defensive side because Philly – can maul them in that way. Washington's going to get that fixed. They'll be a better running football team. They'll get more offensive linemen. They'll get a home run back. So they better make sure they address some of their issues. I don't really know what Dallas – Jerry's such a wild card. Who the hell knows what it's going to look like? In New York, yeah, sitting three, not being able to get one of the top two unless you move up. Of the quarterbacks coming out in this draft, the one guy who if I wanted to pick one, it would be Cam Ward. That would be the guy who I would want. I think his attitude, his leadership is exactly what New York needs. There, I don't think there's any question. Joe Shane needs to not only hit this pick, he needs to hit this pick in a historic way because he made a historic blunder letting Saquon out of there and having that smug attitude like he did to let him out of there.
And
like,
we all saw it.
That HBO clip, yeah. that clip is legendary.
Totally.
The way John Mara is sitting there telling him, like, almost as if, almost like he didn't own the team, almost as if to say, like, he was a fan going, man, I'd hate to see Saquon go somewhere and be good, and, like, I'd really hate to see that. And Joe just has this look on his face like, I'm the GM. Like, I know what I'm doing. That's why you hired me. And for it to happen the way it happened, and for Saquon to be doing what he's doing right now, The only thing that – can you imagine if he had broken the damn rushing record against the Giants? If they would have let him play, you're absolutely right.
They are so lucky.
You're absolutely right.
And I'm spiteful enough, by the way, I'd have played his ass.
I would have done it.
You know, oh, my God!
If he'd have broken that record
against
the
them, John Mara would have, like, it would have been like every person in this radio row would have been like, that's the lead right there.
Shane might have
that's
been fired.
The lead.
If
oh,
that happened.
My gosh. That's just unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And for everybody out there who hears this, who's, you know, Giants fans who say, oh, you're just bitter because they gave the job to Gettleman, I don't give a damn about that. I honestly don't. I have a great life. I'm good. I'm just calling it like I see it. That, to me, is one of those moments in history when John Mara is talking to his GM almost like he's, like, below the GM. Like, man, I'd really hate to have him go somewhere and do good. And the GM is kind of like, get out of here. I'm the GM. Like that. Like, it was just one of those moments that I'll never forget.
Yeah, close
I'll
the door never on your way up, please, buddy.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Oh.
Hall of Famer Marcus.
How about
Allen
that? How about that, dude?
And greeting.
You know what I mean?
Lewis Riddick, all timer. Hey, this was fantastic. Thank
Absolutely.
You,
Lewis.
Thanks
really
a lot.
Really appreciate
of course.
It. It was a treat.
Of course.
Watch Lewis Riddick on all of ESPN's content. One of the best in the biz, breaking down the NFL. We're live on Radio Row. Did you guys know that Thurman Thomas, speaking of Hall of Famers, is basically a godfather to Nats outfielder Dylan Cruz? I actually bumped into him today and asked him about that. I want to talk about that with you next, Danny, because it's a really cool story. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Welcome back to Radio Row in New Orleans. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Are you bothered that I'm interchangeably saying Radio and Media Row?
No. This one doesn't irk me at all.
Gotcha.
The only thing that would irk me is if somebody like kept correcting me down there. They're like, actually, it's Media Row. I'd go, I've had enough of you and that.
I mean, that does happen off air for sure. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Like
I grew up on Radio Row, and now it's Media Row, and it just whatever comes out, man.
Like somebody, I don't remember who it was, but it took 4 seconds the interaction. I said Twitter, and they're like, "Do you mean X?" No, it was one way for a long time. I use it a lot. We'll be fine. Look, you
that's
know what I mean?
Like the stadium name correction guy. That one ricks me. I don't care what the sponsor is. Like when I talk about the Sugar Bowl, it's not the Nokia Sugar Bowl.
No, it's the Sugar Bowl. I think of Nokia. Nokia?
Right, exactly.
Nokia? I don't know.
I don't need to – AT&T Park, well, actually, it's Oracle. No, it's not. It's always going to be AT&T. Or, San Francisco's ballpark.
Sure, it's Pac Bell at one point, man. I don't – where San Francisco plays?
So, Danny, do you remember when Dylan Cruz made his debut?
Mm-hmm.
That Masson showed Thurman Thomas in the crowd, and it just said – Pro Football Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas, and he was wearing one of the T-shirts that was given away at Nats Park for Dylan Cruz that he had, like, changed into in the outfield. And you and I and everyone's like, what is going on here?
This Why? Is so crazy.
Thurman Thomas is apparently the biggest Dylan Cruz fan ever and came to his debut, and they said he followed him through the minor leagues. Like, that Thurman Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Well, the story is, as we found out, I guess, that night, that his father, Dylan Cruz's dad, and Thurman Thomas are buddies and we're neighbors. And I got some more intel on that. I bumped into Thurman Thomas today, told him I was from D.C., flagship home of the Nats. He was fired up. And this was his explanation of how he became fan number one of and one of the big supporters to is basically his godson, Dylan Cruz of the Nationals.
Thurman, I saw you were at the Dylan Cruz debut and I didn't realize the relationship you had with him. How far back does that go?
That goes back to, 2001 when I was living in Orlando and met Dylan and his parents and we were kind of having kids at the same time. And so Dylan and my son, Thurman III, they've been best friends for the last 20-something years. And it all started in Orlando and they used to play football together and basketball and baseball. And, you know, and we followed Dylan's career through LSU and got the chance to see him win the World Series. And when he got drafted by the Nationals, just to watch his career take off.
Wow, that's very cool. Thank you.
All right.
I can't stop thinking and talking about that. It's the weirdest thing to me. Thurman Thomas, man. Just like your neighbor and then just follows you around watching you play college baseball. I think that's so funny.
It is the neatest thing ever. Like, I think about it now. Like, my oldest son, his best buddy lives like five houses away, right? And what if that, like, you know, that kid comes over, can just walk in the front door, doesn't have to, like, knock or whatever. It's one of the cool things about the community we live in, right? Where it's totally great. They can, you know, bike to each other's house and play and shoot hoops in the backyard or do whatever. Like, imagine that kid goes on to be a big leaguer or gets drafted by or, you know, whatever sport. It would be kind of a similar thing. And it just so happens, I'm me. That's Thurman Thomas, dude. You know what I mean? That's one of the most slept on great running backs in the history of the league. They don't have a Super Bowl to show for it, but he was one of the OGs of the, not only can I run it better than you, I can also catch it better than you. It's like him and Roger Craig from that era. Thurman Thomas was a baller. And it's just, there it is. There's his little godson, Dylan Cruz, playing outfield for the Nats. That's neat.
Yeah. Big year coming up for Dylan Cruz, too, after getting in the major leagues last year. Should be in the show with the Nats all season long. Has not really hit in terms of average like he was supposed to post-draft, but I think has a chance still with the speed, stole 12 bases and just over 100 at-bats. You know, did hit 3 home runs in his first 100 ABs in the big leagues. Showed some power in his first week, couple of homers in his first several games when he got called up. He's got a chance. He's going to break camp, you would think, in the outfield. Be a problem if he didn't. He's got a chance to be one of their better players this year. We're going to be in spring training next month, actually, about 6 weeks from right now, with a lot more on the Washington Nationals as we turn the page from football in just a few weeks. Speaking of the gridiron, though, Kurt Warner, Pro Football Hall of Famer, scheduled to join us next. Eric's been working hard on a brilliant guest rundown today. We've got Dan Orlovsky still coming up at 6 o'clock. Former Redskin Vernon Davis at 5:45 today. Devin McCourty right around 4:30. But next, Kurt Warner. We'll ask him about Jaden Daniels and the renaissance of the Commanders. Get his thoughts on Super Bowl 59, which he'll be calling for Westwood One when we return live from New Orleans on The Fan.